Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Noon hour straight ahead. Mike Conti going to stop by at 12:20 and talk through a little bit more of the news of the day, which is that Lloyd Pierce is no longer the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, man.
Came down yesterday afternoon. Timeline kind of interesting, and I know Mike was talking about that yesterday with Dukes and Bell. We'll get more into that coming up with him in about 25 minutes. But that's the thing that just seems most weird about it.
Like, yeah,
firing a coach who's 14 and 20 and has blown a bunch of leads isn't weird. It's just the timing and when.
It's crazy because I was just in the house. I was in the house and I had ESPN on, and First Take is on it, and that was the last topic of their show. And that's what Steve was like, it's just funny timing about it, you know. And there are going to be so many different things thrown out. Was he too supportive of different situations that went on in our city, especially with the dream? Like, he was mentioning all that stuff, you know, as far as his outspokenness on social justice and all that stuff that Lloyd Pierce was, and spoke about eloquent because he knew what he's talking about. But yeah, I think that's just the thing, just like you just said, Bunk. Like, when you blow leads like that, you're not going to lose your job. But it's, for some reason, just the timing. It's just weird to me. And I like what Max said. Well, somebody had to go, and Travis Link can't fire himself. So.
Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah. And Travis Schlenk also said that they're not really in the market to make any trades either. So they had to do something, I guess. And it was Lloyd Pierce. Yeah. It's a little easier when you have a veteran NBA head coach on your bench that can slide into that spot. And Nate McMillan takes over now and hopefully does better. Like, I personally think a lot of the stuff that was going wrong with the Hawks is something that just a coaching change isn't going to fix, but we'll see. The good news is we get to actually find out, so we'll find out.
Yeah, they play tonight.
We'll hear from Travis Link in just a minute. They do play tonight, don't they?
Yeah.
They play the Miami Heat tonight, and they just played the Miami Heat the other day, so we'll see. We'll see how much better they are with Nate McMillan as the coach. Mike's going to stop by in 20 minutes, like we said. Some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt coming up at 12:40. Let's get to the most important audio in the world, though, brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Well, if Kyle Pitts is there at number four, I don't know how you could turn him down. I mean, a guy might be the best receiver in this draft. He might be the best matchup in this whole draft. I mean, turn on any game, and the guy is just smooth, fluid. He jumps to the moon to go get a football. He's going to run really well. If he's there at four, it'd be hard to look at that and go, man, that guy fit in well in our offense, in any offense. And so, you know, Arthur Smith likes tight ends. He is more than a tight end. But I don't know. I mean, he might be the second coming of Travis Kelce right now.
So that's Brian Baldinger, who was on with us about half an hour ago. You can hear the entire interview on radio.com app if you want to rewind. It'll be up on the website, 929thegame.com, Andy and Randy. That's the first time I've heard anybody say that about what the Falcons should do at number four. But he makes a good argument for it.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Pitts might be the best all around offensive player in this draft.
Him and Trevor.
Yeah, I mean, he's that special.
Right.
He's that special of a player. And I'll be honest with you, if Trevor went in his draft, he would be a consideration for the number one overall pick. That's how great I think Kyle Pitts can be. I think this dude is just off the charts. Just, he's an offensive weapon, you know. And of course, he'll be labeled as a tight end. And the thing about it is that dude, he ain't afraid to put his face in there, Andy. And that's one thing I saw from him in Florida. He ain't afraid to block. Now, he ain't the best in the world at it, but the dude puts the effort. And, you know, and you're going against college defensive men, these grown men. And believe me, if you don't realize that they grown men that you're blocking, you're going to end up on the center because that's how far he's going to toss you. Believe me, I know from experience. But, you know, he's a special player, and he can help. He can't hurt any team from drafting. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a team and you want a tight end, even if you got a tight end, you draft this guy, he automatically makes your offense better. That's how good of a player that he is.
Well, and if you go with what they've told us this entire offseason, which is nothing really specific other than best player available, I think we've been focusing hard on need. And trading back would take care of need, but trading back doesn't give you best player available. You don't trade back and get the best player available. You trade back and five guys are gone or six guys are gone by the time you get to where you traded back to, however far you trade back. Kyle Pitts would be the best player available at number four if he's there.
Yeah.
And if Terry Fontenot does what he's told us that he's going to do, then, I don't know, maybe Kyle Pitts is someone that they take.
I don't know. I mean, tight end is not a need position that early.
Certainly
for them,
not.
But
a
he's
need.
A di- but he's a different kind of cat, though. You know, like needs are good and dandy until that, until somebody like that's available.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is you know it's not like a quarterback where you can only play one at a time.
Right.
You could play Kyle Pitts and Hayden Hurst.
Yeah.
At the same time, every single time you want to do that, and that'd be a lot of fun because that's two really good tight ends. Yeah, that's
it's just an interesting thing, and I saw somebody Kyle Pitts to the Dolphins. Was I think it was Cooper. No,
at
Mel
three.
Said no. No, I'm sorry. Mel said the trade up to get the Jets pick. Take Zach Wilson. Jets took Kyle Pitts at four. That's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But, so you've seen him go that high before. It just wasn't to the Falcons.
Yeah, but I already thought him coming into the season he was going to go high. I think Kyle Pitts would be. Five, top in the 5-6 area. Like, who's the last one at six? Was it Vernon?
The only thing that's going to drop him is quarterbacks. And that has nothing to do with his ability. It's just if teams get thirsty for quarterbacks and trade up.
That's a great one, Brian. The Bengals at five? Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Let me get Joe Burrow. Yeah, let me get that. But I'm trying to think. I think Vernon was the highest drafted tight end. Vernon Davis, right? At six.
Yeah, he was a top 10 pick.
Kellen went six, I think, too.
Obviously, Gronk went late because of injuries. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I think it was Vernon. Yeah, I think it was Vernon. Uh-huh. I think it was Vernon. Vernon and Kellen were the top. Yeah, I think somebody was at five. It's not registered.
Well, maybe anyway. Kyle Pitts will be the highest drafted tight end. And if what Brian Baldinger says comes true, maybe he'll be an Atlanta Falcon, which would be. Different than what anyone has been talking about, but it would certainly be a lot of fun. There's no doubt about it. If you missed that interview, it's available on 929thegame.com. You can go check it out. Here's Travis Schlenk talking about Nate McMillan.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, obviously he's got a ton of experience, right? And he's been successful. So he's got that gravitas about him where, you know, I think, you know, the guys are going to have a comfort in him in his decision-making. And I think what we hope we see, obviously, is that, you know, that's going to translate into their confidence on the floor.
Hopefully. Is confidence something that was a problem? I guess maybe if you blow enough leads, maybe that shakes your confidence. Decision-making, certainly. I think there was some questionable decision-making by Lloyd Pierce late in games over the last couple of seasons, but specifically over the last couple of weeks that have led to some of these blown leads. But I don't know how much of a difference Nate McMillan being in charge going forward makes. Again, we'll find out. We get to find out because it's not like they're getting everyone back off of injury at the same time, even though Bogdanovich is set to play tonight on a minutes restriction. So at least they have some reinforcements coming from an injury perspective. We get to find out, you know, if you were one that believes Lloyd Pierce was the biggest problem that this team had this season, well, then Lloyd Pierce no longer being the head coach of this team should be a huge help.
No, I mean, he's gone now. I mean, that's the thing. He's gone. And now the whole Nate McMillan thing starts right now. I'm not surprised. Like some people say, well, Nate had to decide. I don't think Nate had to decide. I think they just wanted to, you know, give a little grace or whatever, not automatically assume that.
Oh, Nate took a minute to accept the interim position?
Yeah. I don't think you want to make it seem like that. Oh, they picked him because you kind of knew this was going to happen.
Right. He didn't want to make it look like he snaked him.
Exactly.
Or like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I respect that. And, you know, they're getting some players back, especially Bogey. He's coming back, but he'll be on minute restriction. So I don't expect him more than 15 minutes total tonight. And, you know, you just got to move on from there. And the one thing about it is as a player, you got to, you know, to put Miami on your mind, basically what I'm saying. Because I'm sure they were taking a back by it. You can say some people didn't get along with Lloyd, whatever. We just fired the coach. Whoa.
Yeah.
You know, and trust me, they didn't consult Trae Young to do this.
Yeah, that's exactly what Travis Schlenk said. Yes. Here he is.
Yes. Certainly didn't go around to each player asking their opinion stuff, you know, but I certainly am around the team, you know, especially this year with the COVID situation. I've been with the team all year long. So, you know, I feel like I have a pulse on the team.
Of course you didn't go around and ask one by one if it was something that you wanted for them to do. Do you think any of it was based on relationships with Lloyd Pierce? Is there any of this that goes into there was a rift between him and a player?
No, because if that would have, they would have waited to the end of the season, I think. You would have probably made an adjustment at the end of the season. And that was my biggest thing. And that I think that's where I'm going with it now, Andy, is like, okay, the timing of it, I'm questioning why now, but my biggest question is why not the end of the season? Like, is this these are the things I would look at right now. So are you telling me that Nate's going to turn this thing around and you're going to make a playoff push? Or are you still just going to keep developing these players and trying to get right? Well, isn't that why you hired Lloyd Pierce in the first place, to develop your players?
That was
develop the young players?
His number one resume line was that he was a good player development guy coming from Philadelphia.
Right.
Secondly was probably defense, right? The defense hadn't been any good for 2.5 years. And the development has happened with some of these guys. It also hasn't with other guys. I mean, maybe Cam Reddish's slow development is a part of this because he just hasn't taken that step. DeAndre Hunter did, but he's injured now, so he's not on the floor.
I think of this so differently about the whole development of the player. What is Cam doing his part? Like, Lloyd can't make Cam a better basketball player.
It's great point.
You know, I mean, I always envision that when people say, well, he's here to develop Cam. Develop Cam into what? If Cam can't shoot, Cam can't shoot. You know, and I'm not saying that about Cam. I'm using his name as an example. Cam can shoot the basketball sometimes.
Sometimes.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes. You know, if this guy, then why did you draft him number 10 overall?
Yeah.
That's from a U2 because you the one picked him. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, the good thing about him. No pressure on him.
Oh, yeah, there's no pressure on Nate whatsoever. I mean, Nate took over a team that was declared itself to be ready to go to the playoffs, and they're 14-20. So if he goes 14-20 in the second half, all right, then they were the same. If he goes 20-14, then he fixed them. If they go better than that, then Nate McMillan's probably going to be the head coach of the Hawks going forward. You're right. There is no pressure on him. It is interesting. The timing of it is interesting. My read on it is that you had an owner greenlit a bunch of money being spent in the offseason.
Right.
You greenlit the money being spent because you thought that your young pieces were enough of a foundation to build on to start talking about playoffs.
Right.
Everyone started talking about playoffs.
Okay.
And you're very clearly not a playoff team right now. So you had an owner that said, I just spent a whole bunch of money and this is what it looks like. We got to do something about it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, is that showing lack of patience? Because
I don't know that it's like
patience. What I'm saying is you just said that he went out and spent all his money on these guys. Well, all the guys you went and spent money ain't here yet.
Yeah. I think it's urgency. I think it's I spent all this money and I want to win now, and so let's do something about it. Whether or not this actually fixes it, we'll find out.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, okay.
That's just an assumption. I mean, that's
no. I think both of us are going off of assumptions and what we and hypothetical type thing. We don't know. And we're about to Mike probably would know a little bit more than we do. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, it's a situation where they made the change. It's going to be questions of why they made a change, and now it's Nate to see if he can implement some stuff that Lloyd didn't implement or Lloyd probably didn't prioritize like Nate might prioritize now. Mm-hmm. You know, and we'll see how this thing goes. But I think the biggest thing, Hawks gotta get healthy. They gotta get healthy because of everything you said. Because if we're talking about the development of a Cam Reddish, players like that, what about development of DeAndre Hunter? So, you know, you can't take away credit for one thing and not give the credit for another thing. That's why I was like, was he in the gym with DeAndre Hunter all off season working on his game, trying to get better? Probably not. And so was Cam doing the same thing that DeAndre was under? That's why DeAndre took the step? You know, these questions that I have sometimes.
Bogdanovich is back tonight on a minutes restriction, so at least they're getting slightly healthier. Still don't know about Cam Reddish. We'll ask Mike Conti about that in 10 minutes. Here's Brian Snitker on Huescar Ynoa from last night.
Yeah, really good. Really good. you know, he's a confident kid with really good stuff. Wow. And he's a horse, man. And that was very impressive today.
Yeah, it was good to see him go out there, had the start yesterday, looked good, threw the pard, struck some guys out. Also saw Tukey pitch yesterday as well, A.J. Minter, Tyler Matzik. So you're seeing some of the guys that are going to be a part of this thing this season get on the field for the first time in spring training. Ronald Acuna was out there yesterday too, flying around the bases, looking fast, looking sleek, like we talked about from that interview the other day on MLB Network. But, you know, you're not going to read too much into spring training. It's game number 2 of spring training, but it was good to see Huescar Ynoa throw the ball the way that he did.
I mean, he looked good, man. He did. And I know we're having a lot of fun with him and everything and don't want to make it seem like I don't want to get over my skis like you tend to sometimes. But I'm not going to do that. But he was fine because if he stunk, then I'd be more on him that he stunk. You know, so I'm going to give him credit. He was fine yesterday. I was grinding him out there. I think that was my biggest thing. You know, I want to see Ynoa. I ain't paying no money to see. I'm going to pay to see nephew Ronnie.
You know, Ronnie's he's got two number 13 chains now, and the Red Sox broadcasters had some things to say about that.
Oh, okay. Don't go there, Randy. Leave it alone.
Yeah,
I don't know. Randy. Don't do it, Randy.
People are going to have to get used to him wearing necklaces sometimes. I think it's okay. You know?
What did they say? I mean, he can't wear necklaces?
I guess not. I guess it's, you know, not a good look, I suppose. I think it's a great look. If I was Ronald Acuna, I'd wear five number 13 necklaces.
I know you would.
All right, we'll come back. Mike Conte going to join us. Get Mike's take on yesterday's news. Lloyd Pierce no longer the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. Why yesterday? Why yesterday afternoon? Why after practice? We'll talk to Mike next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Arena Santa Man. I said Arena and Savannah. Mike Conte's about to join us next to talk the Hawks.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Mike Conte is going to join us next on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Mike Conte's is with us.
20 minutes away from some Mike damn Conte's good questions with Brian. So Randy's going to ask you about the Hawks yesterday, Mike.
Thank you for not – by the way, thank you for not bringing me in with Wangster. I appreciate that.
That's reserved for
young
pitchers.
Because some would say that in high school I was the man, homie, and now I'm not. But you know.
Please don't do that, Mike.
No, it goes. I mean,
were you you consider yourself to have been pretty cool in high school?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I was I was a really cool guy in high school, and then kind of ate myself out of that college, and, well, here I am now on the radio 20 years later. You know,
all right. Mike Conte joins us.
Wearing a polo shirt that's tucked in right now. So, yeah,
hey, man, stop.
Kinda, kind of tumbled really quickly.
Okay, so when you saw the news yesterday, I assume you saw it on Twitter just like the rest of us did when Woj announced.
Actually, no, I did not. Okay. I actually did not know until I got the email.
Okay. So what was your reaction, immediate reaction to seeing that news?
They did it today?
Right.
That was my reaction. The impression that I got, guys, was that up until about last Tuesday, the game that they won Cleveland, the impression I got, I told this, but just the general sense I got was that the Hawks were probably not going to be making a coaching change in the middle of the season. Once that loss happened in Cleveland on Tuesday, I got the sense that things had changed relatively dramatically and that a change could be in the offing maybe as soon as the All-Star break. So when we got the email yesterday, I was talking to Sean Thompson when the email came down. I was very surprised that it came when it did. I thought it might not happen until the end of this week, if at all. So I know you guys have been talking about it, and I talked about it yesterday. I tweeted about it. The timing felt very, very strange, and it still feels strange to me how, you know, Travis Schlenk, according to what he told John and Hugh this morning, according to what he told us last night on a conference call, he said he made the decision along with his front office yesterday morning, but he did not have an opportunity to convey that decision to Lloyd Pierce prior to the team's scheduled practice, which was around 12:30 yesterday afternoon. That's why he had him run the practice, do the press conference, and then he waited until they got back to the hotel to give him the word. So that's the timeline that Travis Schlenk is giving us. I still think the timing is unusual.
And that, I think, Mike, that's the biggest thing, because I don't think we're surprised. I think it's more about the timing of it because of the record or whatever you want to call it. But that thing what you just said about Travis, isn't he with the team? And so that's why, like, because after that Miami loss, you're like, okay, well, why didn't we do it after the Miami game? Why, you know, that's what I'm saying. Did he have to sleep on it? Couldn't he have conveyed with the owner and all those people the night after the game? Because it seems like that might have been the straw that broke the camel's back, that what happened in Miami.
Yeah, I don't know if the Miami game was the straw that broke the camel's back or if the Cleveland game was, but something happened within the last 24 hours that brought them to this point. And what exactly that is, I guess that really still hasn't been fully articulated. But you are right, Travis Schlenk is with the team. I mean, he's been going on all the road trips this year. It's a much smaller traveling party because of COVID-19. So Travis was with the team. And Travis did say something yesterday that I do think makes a lot of sense, that if he made the decision, there was no sense in waiting 48 hours to deliver that decision. You might as well just do it. And I do get that. That does make sense. I mean, if you've gotten to the point where you've made the decision that you cannot go on with Lloyd Pierce, it does not make sense just to keep him around for the simple fact that, well, the All-Star break's coming Wednesday night. We can wait until then. If you're going to make a clean break, you do it now.
Do you think it's going to make a difference immediately? I mean, I know we spent a lot of time talking about some of the decision-making that Coach Pierce has shown late in games, but is that the bottom line? I mean, is this team better today than they were yesterday with Lloyd Pierce gone?
I think they're a better team than they were yesterday because it sounds like Bogdan Bogdanovich is going to play tonight.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it necessarily has anything to do with the coaching change. Now, you know, we could debate whether or not the team responded better to Nate McMillan when he was acting head coach a week and a half ago compared to how they responded to Lloyd Pierce. I think that is extremely debatable.
Me too.
And very, very difficult to quantify. Again, Travis Link said he felt like right now the team needed a voice and that Nate McMillan would be that best possible voice to lead this team through the second half of the season. They feel like they still have a legitimate chance at making the playoffs. They're two games out right now with 38 games to play. But as far as making the Hawks a better basketball team, I really don't know. I think the only thing that's going to make them better is getting Bogdanovich back and getting DeAndre Hunter back. And it sounds like Hunter is not close to coming back, but at least you're going to get Bogdanovich tonight. And that brings up an interesting question as well. You know, when did they know that Bogdan Bogdanovich could potentially be available for this game tonight? Because it certainly seems like they've given Nate McMillan a really good opportunity to go out and maybe get a win or two before the All-Star break if you're going to have one of your best players and certainly one of your best three-point shooters available for these next two games.
Mike, how much and seriously, it was a no-brainer for Nate McMillan. I know they were talking about what he's thinking about and all those things. Was it more or less he didn't want to just jump right to it and allow, you know, some respect towards Lloyd Pierce? But there was no question that he was going to be the interim coach, right?
Now, according to Travis Schlenk, no. And I think some of the reporting on that last night may have been a tad bit misunderstood. You know, the tweet that Woj had, I think, had some people jumping to the conclusion that Nate McMillan maybe didn't want the job. I don't think that was it. The way it was described to us last night is Nate McMillan just wanted a chance to speak to Lloyd Pierce personally before telling Travis Schlenk, okay, yeah, I'm in for this. So I think that may have been a little bit misunderstood the way it was reported last night. I don't think there was ever any consideration for anyone else stepping into this role.
Mike Conte joining us, talking about the news of the day today and yesterday that Lloyd Pierce is no longer the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. And I guess what Nate McMillan does and what this team does over the rest of the season and next year and after that, I guess we'll tell the full tale of this. But what does this say, moving on from Lloyd Pierce midway through this season, about this years-long rebuild that they're in right now? How do you take this as far as the health of the rebuild?
Well, it tells me that the rebuild is over and that the transition from rebuilding to needing to be competitive, that transition is complete and that there is an expectation now that this team needs to compete right now. And I've seen a couple people tweet over the last 24 hours, well, this is the Hawks abandoning their long-term plan by doing this right now. And I have to respectfully disagree with that take because I feel like, objectively, the Hawks were not going to make themselves any better as a franchise going through another tank year trying to accumulate another lottery draft pick or two and then go into the 2021-22 season with, you know, a fourth-year player in Trey, a couple third-year players in Reddish and Hunter, another fourth-year player in Herter, and then, you know, another rookie or two. I feel like the Hawks are good enough with their core four, core five, whatever you want to call them. They feel like they have the core of a competitive roster right now. Where they have really struggled is the complementary pieces that they brought in this past offseason. The veterans just haven't worked out, either because of injury or something else. But I don't know if going into the draft lottery for another year would have made this team appreciably better, and I think that's their philosophy too. So I don't think this was abandoning of the long-term plan. I think, if anything, it might have been an acceleration of the long-term plan that, okay, you know, we feel like now is the time where we need to be a playoff team, and I don't disagree with that.
Mike, in the remaining part of this schedule, the three aspects of the team, the front office, the players, and the coaches, who's under the most pressure of those three?
Trae Young. Not just players. I think it's Trae Young. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as the team, as Trae goes, the team goes. And there are statistics to show you that Trae, when he's at 24 points or fewer, the Hawks have a losing record. When he's above that, the Hawks have a winning record. When Trae makes a certain number of field goals in the fourth quarter, the Hawks have a winning record or a losing record. So ultimately, in this league, and I think you would agree with me, if your best player is not playing well, you're going to struggle. And that's especially acute for the Hawks, who have a superstar player in Trae Young and a supporting cast that might not be quite as far along as a lot of other supporting casts in the league. So Trae Young has got to channel that all-star level that we saw him play at last year and give the Hawks that consistently. And hopefully, again, you know, getting Bogdan Bogdanović back will help. Hopefully getting Cam Reddish healthy and in a better spot will help. Hopefully getting a little more out of Danilo Gallinari, although I don't know if we can really trust right now based on what we've seen that he will get to that point. Hopefully that would help support Trae. But ultimately, it really does come down to Trae and his level of execution.
Well, Mike, we certainly have a lot to dive into Thursday at 3 o'clock. No doubt about that.
No doubt. It's been a very interesting 24 hours with a lot of surprises, and now we've got to happens tonight and tomorrow. The goal has to be to win both these games.
Yeah, no doubt. It absolutely should be. We appreciate it. Mike Conti there, Atlanta Hawks Radio Network.
Appreciate it, Mike C.
We will also chat with Mike, or I will chat with Mike and Jason Longshore on Thursdays, every Thursday at 3 o'clock on Facebook Live. Just follow us, like us on 92.9 The Game on Facebook. You could check us out for an hour talking Hawks every single Thursday at 3 o'clock on the No Swag Shop. And there's a lot of context to this. There's a lot of layers to this. They're 14-20, so they're not very good. They moved on from their head coach. There's a lot of pressure on a lot of different people now.
Yeah,
Trae Young's one of them.
Saying, like, because we remember in 10 o'clock, like,
yeah, okay. Travis Schlenk's one of them, too.
Exactly. They don't get better.
Yeah, that's right. Trae Young and Travis Schlenk, I think, are the two guys now who have the microscope on them most.
But Trae ain't going nowhere.
No, he's not. He's not. I don't think Travis is either, but no, he's not. So hopefully they win. We'll come back. We'll get to some damn good questions with Brian after this. Back into what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour as well. Don't go anywhere. It's Radio 92.9 again. 20 minutes away from what's trending, in which we will hear Brian snit very nice things about Huéscar and Noah. he will. Promise you. I know these things. We'll let you hear a little bit more of what Travis Schlenk had to say this morning to John and Hugh as well. He was on with the guys this morning. Less than 24 hours after firing Lloyd Pierce and naming Nate McMillan the interim head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks play tonight as well. We hardly even mentioned that fact. They play tonight against the Miami Heat, who they just lost to the other night. Jimmy Butler probably going to be available for the Heat tonight, too. Bogdan Bogdanović is going to play on a minutes restriction for the Hawks, so that's some good news.
Yeah, I mean, you get to see a guy back out there and everything, but, you know, he's going to be 15 minutes at the most, probably.
Yep, minutes restriction.
Yeah,
yep.
So, I mean, hopefully he gets in and shows some positive signs. But, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this is what you got right now until you get what the rest of you need. And that's the rest of your good players.
It's what you got until you get what the rest that you need. And I agree with you 100%.
Thank you, Andy.
I just saw a tweet from Seth Emerson. We'll get to Brian and some damn good questions in just a minute.
Okay.
Obviously, Seth covers the Georgia Bulldogs for the Athletic. He tweeted out a screenshot of Kirby, who's doing a Zoom media session right now. Mm-hmm. Not surprisingly, Kirby wearing a Georgia polo and a Georgia pullover. How many polos do you think Kirby Smart has in his closet?
At least.
Like 40?
At least 40. Yeah, at least, yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen him wear anything other than, I guess occasionally he'll wear a shirt and a tie.
But like that's a college coach. Like, that's his go to. You know, the of course the school polo.
Yep.
Some duck heads and the loafers with no socks.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, that's the coach. That's his look.
Yeah, it is.
The boat shoes.
Right. The boat shoes, the khaki shorts or long pants if you want to.
Yeah.
And the polo shirt. It's not a bad look. And when you're a coach, yeah, sure. It's also a look that just a lot of other people adopt as well. because I guess coaches do it business casual, so
whoa,
other people just do it at work. It works for some people, not for everybody. What?
I'm just looking, I just saw something from The Athletic about the Hawks.
Yeah, Chris Kirshner, yeah, David Aldridge, and Sam Amick have a behind-the-scenes look at the Lloyd Pierce era. I haven't had a chance to read through it yet, but based on Chris Kirshner's reporting in the past, I imagine it'll be really good, and I imagine there'll be some new information in there. So,
of course,
when we get a chance to look at it, we'll for sure react to it. Let's get to Brian and some damn good questions.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678 ESOG now.
Hey, man. Brian.
I was fine with that one. That was good.
Okay, well, why don't you guys learn how to play the guitar and play some riffs every day at 12:45?
No. I just said I was fine with that one.
But that's what we got you for.
Uh-huh. Good. Well, then that one was good enough. What do we got, Brian?
All right. I guess fine's not good. That's fine. Okay. I'm still reacting to this Brian Baldinger interview we had at 11:20. It's up at 929thegame.com if you want to check that out. And we obviously reacted heavily to him saying Kyle Pitts, if he's there at four, the Falcons should take him. But I reacted just as much to the first question you guys asked. Penei Sewell, if he's available at four, should the Falcons take him? Here's what Baldy said. Wanted to get your reaction.
I think that should be in the conversation. I mean, I think there's a lot of good players at number four in this draft. Penei would be one of them. He didn't play this year, and, you know, players have that option. When I watch him against SEC-type, you know, talent, right, like against Auburn, he wasn't Jonathan Ogden. But you can see the talent that he has. I mean, he's got talent, and he's a natural left tackle and all that. But I don't think he's a finished product. I don't know that he's going to come in and, you know, you want him to be what Tristan Wirfs was.
Yeah.
You know, what Mekhi Becton looks like he can be. I mean, that's what you want. And I don't know that he's that guy yet. I think he has the potential to be really good. But I don't know before if I'm willing to take him over, you know, I don't know, Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase or somebody like that right now.
Well, I mean, the crazy thing about it is I hate when people mention Jonathan Ogden. Jonathan Ogden, one of the best football players ever.
Yeah, the best left tackle ever.
It could be, one of the best left tackle. And, of course, if you draft somebody like that, you want him to be that. I get that. You want him to be Orlando Pace. You want him to be Walter Jones. Mm-hmm. And I'm just talking about from when I played. Like, these dudes were just different. Like, it was like, okay, we ain't got to worry about that side because they're not getting near the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so, I mean – Penei Sewell is a really, really good player. But all these guys, don't get it twisted now. All these guys are projects coming into the league yet. They were good in college. It's a different game. What did I tell you about Kyle Pitts? You go up to trying to block one of these defensive ends in the league like you did, like you thinking it's one of the defensive ends from Georgia, and you're going to get tossed on the center. All right? Everything about the league is a growing experience for these young fellas. You know, because they got to learn how to play in the league because it's so much different. The difference between a quarterback in a college and pros, them win the small, Andy. Then win the small. You got to throw the ball where you think, you know.
Yeah, you have to throw it faster and more accurately.
Yeah.
And you have to do it every single time.
We ain't running wide open. Ja'Marr Chase, you ain't going to be running wide open.
Right.
And everything like that. So it's all a growing and learning experience. If Kyle Pitts is there for, I won't have a problem with the Falcons taking him.
Yeah. I would actually kind of love it.
Not at all.
I don't know. It kind of flies in the face of all the build from the trenches, and I don't know. I fall in love with the sexy stuff, and Kyle Pitts is that guy, one of those guys coming into this draft. As for Penei Sewell, I just think we get so, and I understand why. Like, a number four draft pick is really high. Falcons haven't been that high in a long time, and when you have a pick that high, the pressure is just, okay, this guy has to be a Hall of Famer. And that's just not realistic.
But I know that, but that's what you expect. But when you take somebody that high, this guy is going to be here for a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah,
he's going to left tackle for the next 20 years.
But he probably isn't. The chances are that whoever gets drafted at number four, hopefully they're a starter for the next 5 to 7 years. Like, that would be awesome. Hopefully they're a Pro Bowler. Hopefully they are a Hall of Famer. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
But the reality of the situation is that they
go
won't
look
be.
Go look at the numbers. Yeah. Go look at it.
Most guys aren't. It's the same thing that we're talking about when we talk about taking a quarterback at number four. Everyone has just decided that because the Falcons have a pick so high and that they haven't been there in a while, and they probably won't be there again, that you have to take a quarterback because taking a quarterback at number four somehow guarantees something. It doesn't guarantee anything. Go back and look at the quarterbacks that have been taken in the top five over the last 10 years. And look at what a crapshoot it is. We've seen quarterbacks taken in the top one in the last 5 years traded this offseason.
One and two, Andy, and two and two separate drafts.
In 15 and 16, one and two aren't on the teams they, they got drafted by anymore.
Yes.
Okay? Like, and that's the number one pick. Like, that's even more of a you have to nail this than the number four pick. So, yeah. I mean, if they draft Penei Sewell, hopefully Penei Sewell's a starter in the league for the next 10 years and helps anchor your offensive line. Hopefully he is Jonathan Ogden or someone like that, but probably not. So, I don't know. They just need to nail as many draft
picks
as possible.
How about you, let's get some serviceable players, right, Andy?
Yeah.
And let them develop into Jonathan Ogden. Now, because a lot of times, let me get, because when Jonathan Ogden came out of UCLA, he was already really damn good.
He was.
When Walter Jones got to Seattle from Florida State.
He was really good immediately.
Orlando Pace.
Great.
Really good.
Day one.
Yeah, day one.
But let's do this. Instead of, because this is something, and I know we probably do this too, because we just get so infatuated with the first round. They're going to take seven guys or more in the draft this year. Like, nail four or five of them.
Yeah.
Instead of putting all the pressure on the number one draft pick, put pressures on the entire draft to get players from the whole thing. You can get really good players in the third round, fourth round, fifth round, second round. Don't take a guy in the second round that doesn't play like they did last year. Maybe don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, the number four pick has so much pressure put on it. Put pressure on all of them.
Put pressure, exactly. Don't have a third round pick defensive tackle that's been in your league, well, not necessarily in this program here, but been on the Falcons for 4 years and played three games.
Yeah, Deidre Snott can't get on the field.
Hell.
Marlon Davidson didn't play last year. Stop missing on draft picks. Not Marlon Davidson could be good still. There was a lot of things going on last year. But, yeah, there's more pressure than just the four pick. I put pressure on all of them. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending. Kick off the 1 o'clock hour, so don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.